This is the world I want to live in. This is the world I want to live in. This is the world I want you to grow up in. I want this to be the world that you raise your children in. This is the world I want to live in, where kindness takes the shape of a powdered sugary cookie, where strangers hold hands in airport terminals in Albuquerque. No, not everything is lost. Now, some of you are very young. Some of you are very young, but I know that you notice everything in the world around you. Some of you are very young, and it looks like you're coloring on your coloring pages and playing with the pipe cleaners and not paying any attention to me, but I know you hear everything. I know you see everything, and the world is telling you every day who you are. Now, some of you are not that young. You notice a little more about the world. You have seen that the world can be sad sometimes, right? And you hear how other people treat you, and you see how other people treat each other. You notice grandfather, and you have started carving a wooden bowl for your parents. The world is teaching you every day who you are. Some of you are older still, and you, in the back, you are older still, and you are starting to think about who you are and what you are going to do with your life, right? Voices are calling from all over the place. Your teachers and your parents and your grandparents want you to study hard, get good grades, get a good job, and be happy. Then there's the voice of Adidas and McDonald's and Coca-Cola and Hollister. They want you to love them, want them, and keep buying more so that you may be happy. You're watching the news, right? You're reading the paper. You're watching YouTube videos. You're watching PG-13 movies, maybe a few R-rated movies. They are funny and scary and outrageous and sometimes very confusing, aren't they? And the world is teaching you every day who you are. Well, your religious community is no exception. We are also teaching you who you are. You all happen to be part of a very old religious tradition, a combination of two streams that merged about 50 years ago. What's the one stream? Unitarian. And the other stream? Universalist. Now, in the early days, long ago, we used to teach you all from books like this. This one was given to the church by Phil Hood. It belonged to her husband, Robin, who died many years ago. It's a book of songs and prayers and readings for young people. Yes, did you catch that? His name was Robin Hood. It's true. In the early days, long ago, we used to teach you little ones, young ones, from books like this, and we actually called it catechism, Unitarian catechism. These books had lots and lots of questions in them, which we love. We love questions. But it also had a lot of answers in here, too. Now, these days, we still ask a lot of questions, wondering questions, right? But today, religious education and Sunday school isn't so much about giving you facts and figures, but it really is about giving you what you need to help make this world a kinder place. It's about helping you to be who you are. That sounds really simple, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound pretty straightforward and pretty simple? I mean, how hard could that be? Well, you'd be surprised. First, you've got to answer the question, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Anybody have an answer? Who are you? You can call up your name. Okay, back there. You're Finnish?
Unfinished.
Unfinished. Oh, love it. She is unfinished, in development. You are a human being, aren't you? You are a human being in process. One of our most famous Unitarian teachers was a man named William Ellery Channing. And he had a response to that question that continues to this day to give a foundation for our faith. He said that we are human beings. We, as human beings, have a rich and interwoven set of powers within us. When we unfold those powers, we grow in likeness to God. Or, if you're into quoting second century Christian theologians like Irenaeus, the glory of God is the human being fully alive. The glory of God is the human being fully alive. So, we are like, these are from our front yard. We are like this. These are peony buds. We are like buds of flowers, and all we have to do is unfold the petals and become full flowers, like that. That's our job, is to go from here to here. Now, how easy is it for this bud to become the flower? How easy is it for the bud to unfold its petals and to reach upwards in the sky and become the flower? Hard? You think it's hard? Yeah. And so how easy or hard do you think it is for a human being, for a person, to unfold her powers and her petals, unfolding the petals of kindness and compassion and love, to stretch upward and outward toward our likeness of God, to unfold and become who we are? Easy? Hard? Not so easy. Some of you are old enough to know that life doesn't give the same opportunity to everyone. It depends where you live and who your family is, where you grew up, if you had enough food, if you had a warm house, if you had enough love. And even if you did grow up with all those things, plenty of food and a warm house and a loving family, it's still not easy to unfold, right? I don't know if you have noticed, but these days it seems like the world today doesn't always want you to be who you are. The world doesn't always want you to be exactly who you are. A lot of the messages from the world tell you, well, you should be Beyonce, or you should be Bieber. Well, okay, maybe not Bieber. But the world is telling you things like, well, what you need is a good high-paying job and a fast car and a big house and lots of cash. But those things don't have anything to do with who you are. Those things are just about what you have, right? Boy, it's hard. It's hard to unfold and to stretch up and to become that full, full human being. Now, Channing, he thought the answer was education. Education is the answer to helping people unfold their powers. This is how education humanizes the world, by releasing the full powers of human life into the world. No matter who you are, or where you grew up, or who your family is, education can help you to become a fully alive human being. Now, I want to stop here and talk about the difference between education and schooling. because these are two different things. We're so used to thinking of education as schooling, right? But it's not the same. Unitarian Universalism, our faith, teaches that the purpose of education is to grow into our humanness, into our human beingness, to grow into our divine nature. Now, we can fast forward from Channing about 150 years, and we find a similar philosophy preached by a woman named Zoe Weil. She's the co-founder of the Institute for Humane Education. And so she asks, what is the purpose of school? Oliver, why do you go to school? Or why do you have to have schooling? Anybody? Why do you have to go to school? Yes. You want to learn stuff. Yes. And these days we want you to learn particular stuff. We want you to learn how to get good grades and how to pass the tests and how to graduate and get to a good college and get to a good job so you can earn a living and be happy, right? So I wonder, what if all of the people got good jobs that paid a fair wage? Everybody, every single person. Do you think the world would be a better place? Do you think wars would stop? Do you think violence would end? Do you think killing would stop? No, not really. I mean, maybe life would be a little bit better, but nothing really would change. Because the systems that perpetuate corruption and greed and the degradation of our earth and the endless appetite for material things, those would still be in place. Schooling doesn't easily change those things. But education is different. Education, says Weil, offers people the knowledge and the skills and the desire to be conscientious, compassionate choice makers and change makers for a healthy and humane world. So I hope you're getting the message that education is not just for the little ones, right? That's why we here at WUU call it LFD, lifespan faith development, because becoming who you are and becoming a full human being is something that you do today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life. The last point I want to make today is that the purpose of faith development, religious education, is not for your own self-enrichment. It's not just for personal growth and enhancement. Rebecca Parker reminds us that Channing's theology kept the soul and the world intimately interconnected, making spirituality and education inseparable from social justice. The soul and the world are intimately interconnected. Spirituality, education, and social justice are inseparable. Religious education, she says, fosters active human agency in the creation of a just society by fostering fully alive human beings. And that's what we're doing here in our religious community. These days are full of great challenge, aren't they? Full of great challenge and great promise. On the one hand, humanity does seem to be growing, well, more humane, less violent, more tolerant. And yet, on the other hand, we see more violence. We see breakdown of social, political, and economic systems. We see the population exploding in the poorest parts of the country. We see a scramble for limited resources of food and water and land. And yet, there are glimmers of hope. I can see it on your faces. I can see it on your faces. I can see it in the choices you have made, and I can see it in the choices your children have made. They choose to be part of making this a more healthy, whole, and humane world for the rest of us. And that, that is the world I want to live in. May it be so.